by singing hymn number 40. I think this is one of my favorite songs, and I learned it when I was a little boy. Jesus loves me. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And then we get the lovely chorus. Yes, Jesus loves me. Let's sing it together. Jesus loves me, yes, I love. Been singing, and it tells us about what we are. That one verse is bad. Bad? Jesus loves me though I'm bad. The Bible says all have sinned. That's what it says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then there's a wonderful verse. It says, for God so loved. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have something. Ever lasting life. So when I talk to boys and girls and men and women like this morning, I like to address three questions. Where did I come from? What am I here for? But where am I going when I leave? Sometimes we're so interested in what we're doing here that we don't think about what we're really here for. The Lord Jesus could say in the 11th chapter of Matthew, "Come unto me," what he says. He wants you and me to come unto him because we're sinners and we need to have our sins cleansed. We need to be cleansed from our guilt of our sins. And that's why he died on the cross, so that he could put away all of the guilt of our sins. The hymn writer says, "All our sins, so great, so many, in his blood are washed away." And that's what the Lord wants me to come into the good of. And so it says, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. For when the heart believes on Christ, the Son of God, is then the soul receives salvation through his blood. Well, this is a wonderful song. We could talk about some more verses in it. But I was thinking of this one verse that it says here, heaven's gate to open wide. You know, we're going to talk about the gates and doors this morning. That's one of the things that everybody this morning came through a door. Am I right? You had to open the door to come here. So we got some doors on the end of the building. You had to come through the door to get into the building. And where you were staying last night, you had a door to keep the cold out and the wind and maybe somebody that was... Well, I don't know about the thieves, but you know, the thieves want to come in through the door sometimes. So that's why we got locks on the doors, right? But you know, there's another door that we're going to talk about. Well, let's sing another song, and I think it's in number 22. Number 22, we're going to read about something there that's very interesting. The heavenly bridegroom soon will come. And that has to do with a door opening in heaven. And that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning, a door opening in heaven. But how do you get through the door that opens in heaven? That addresses the question, where are you going? Where are you going? Or you say, well, I'm going to go home after the conference is over. Yeah, that's it. But I mean, at the end of this time that you and I have here in this world, where are you going? When you leave this world, where are you going? The most important question in the world is, am I ready to leave this world? Suppose that I was to be killed in a car accident or something like that. Where would my soul go? Would it go to be with the Lord? You know, if you and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we know that we depart to be with Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he puts it this way, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. Well, let's sing number 22. The heavenly bridegroom's
Thank you.
Bridegroom coming. Let's turn to Matthew 25 and read the story. You know, there's some wonderful stories in the Word of God, and the Lord wants you and me to put ourselves right into the middle of the story. I put myself in the middle of this story because I'm among that number that have oil in the lamps. How did I get it? You know, when I was a boy, 14 years old, I got saved. And I've been happy ever since. He keeps me singing. And when you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have joy and peace in your heart by believing. But let's read the narrative. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. You know, you talk to people about the Lord Jesus and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. And a lot of times I say to them, if the Lord was to come, would you go up? Did you go up? Go up where? Yeah, one man says to me, go up where? I said, to heaven, to be with Christ. He said, I hope so. I'm afraid he didn't have the oil in the lamp. He might have had the lamp because he told me that he was going to go up. Yeah, I'm going to go up. But when I asked him for sure, he didn't know for sure. How do you know? And the one fellow said, oh, I've always been good. Yeah. You know what the Bible says? There's none good, no, not one. Not one. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, it says something about the big trouble. You know, I go to the woman's prison and I talk to those poor girls there. They get in there because of lawlessness. Yeah, they get there because of lawlessness. They broke some kind of a law. You know, there's a whole lot of laws in this world that if you break one of them, you're liable to go to the prison. And I talk to them of the love of God, but I talk to them about the fact that they are sinners. And if the Lord was to come, would they go up? A lot of them don't even, never heard it before. They never heard about the gospel. How that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that he might put away all the guilt of our sins. And it says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Wonderful. Peter says himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And those dark hours when the Lord Jesus was there. And then that cry of abandonment, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because of you and me, beloved. Because of boys and girls that were in their sins and men and women that were in their sins. And young people that were in their sins, they had not the Spirit of God. But the Lord came down to bless and to benefit poor sinners with eternal life. And so that's when the oil comes. You know, the oil is a type of the Spirit of God coming and indwelling the believer. And so they say, when the Lord comes, I hope I'd go up. And I said, you know, John 3:16, yeah, they knew the verse. But they didn't have the oil yet. They might know all about it, but let's see what happens here. And the five, verse number 2, Matthew 25, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Foolish. You know what people are called foolish about? When they don't make provision for the future. When they don't make provision. That's like where I live up north. It gets cold in the wintertime. And I know a man that he's got a wood stove. And you know what he does in the summertime? He makes provision for the winter. And even in the Old Testament it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, for consider her ways. She gets ready for the winter. She makes provision for the winter. And the Lord wants you and me to learn about getting ready for the winter of judgment that's coming on this world. Are you ready? Send me a lamp. Ready? That's what it's about. Let's read it. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't make provision for when it got dark. When I was a little boy, well, let's read the next verse. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Trimmed the lamps. I'm going to tell you a story. When I was a little boy, my grandfather had a shanty. My uncle had a shanty in the middle of the bay in Long Island. I came from New York. And we had a bay back there called Jamaica Bay. And out in the middle of the bay, there was an old shanty that had been there maybe for 100 years. I don't know. It was an old, what they call a bayman's shanty. He was a fisherman that he would catch fish in the summer and he'd catch clams in the winter. He'd rake for clams in the winter. So they would survive that way, you know, something to eat. And somehow my grandfather got a hold of the shanty, and then it was handed down when he passed away to my uncle. And I remember going there when I was a little boy about 6 years old. How many boys and girls are here about 6 years old? Yeah, that's it. Hold it up high so I can... That's it. Well, I was about 6 years old, and I remember that we didn't have electricity out in the middle of the bay on this shanty that was up on... built on a dock, and when the tide come up, there would be water underneath the shanty. It was built on the edge of a marsh, that you would call it. And when the tide goes out, it's all mud all around the shanty. You could walk in the mud, and your feet would get sticky. Oh, boy, it was tough. You'd try to walk in the squish. Your feet would get down in the mud. And sometimes there would be Mr. Crab there that he'd want to pinch your foot. I didn't like to walk in the mud. I was afraid of the crabs. They would burrow, they would dig themselves down in the mud. And if you put your foot down in front of Mr. Crab, he'd come up and he'd want to nip you. Woo! I didn't like that. But anyway, I remember one night in the afternoon came, Grandma was there and my mother was there, and they would say, we got to trim the lamps. We got to trim the lamps. So I'm watching how they trim the lamps. We had kerosene lamps. Kerosene is like oil in the lamp. In the Bible story, it tells about, I think they use olive oil in those lamps. But the principle is the same. You got a wick that you put in the lamp, and after the wick burns down a little, it gets black and crisp. And the oil doesn't soak up into the black part so good, so you have to trim it, and the wick is fresh. And then the oil comes up, and the light is bright. And I used to marvel the way sometimes I'd notice in the evening when it was late, the lamp would get smoky. Smoky wouldn't give the light so good. You know, that's like you and me in our life. Sometimes we're smoky when it comes to being a testimony for the Lord Jesus. He wants us to have bright lights in view of that very soon He's going to come. He's going to come and He's going to take the bride to heaven to be with Him forever in the Father's house. But I remember we would trim the wick just a little bit, get the black off, and scrape it a little bit, and that would make it kind of fuzzy. I remember some of them little details. So I can tell you the story about how it relates here. Trim your lamps and be ready for what? The darkness. The darkness. You know, there's a darkness coming on this world, beloved friends. A darkness of judgment. When the lights go out. Yeah, all the lights are going to go out one of these days. You know, we got the nice electrical lights here. You don't think they could go out? They could go out. They had on the East Coast years ago a little mouse come along and chewed a wire that was a relay to the whole eastern seaboard. And all the lights went out. I forget what year it was, but where I came from in New York City, the train stopped in the track right over the top of the bridge. And the people are all afraid. How are we going to get off the train? I'm just giving you a little example. When the lights go out, what's going to happen? But what about that light, eternal light that God wants to give to poor sinners? That life eternal that we have when we believe in the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior. Well, anyway, they trimmed the lights. They trimmed the lamps. And then they made a nice bright light in the shanty. And I remember we would sit around and we'd sing hymns a lot of times in the evening. We'd sing hymns and enjoy the things of the Lord. I hope that you're enjoying the things of the Lord instead of the things of this world. You know, Satan's got a lot of attractions of this world to win your heart and mind away from being occupied with the man that's coming. The heavenly bridegroom soon will come. I think that's what our song started out about. The heavenly bridegroom soon will come to claim his bride and take her home to dwell with him on high. Why would he want you to dwell with him on high? Why would he want boys and girls and men and women to dwell with him on high? One word. God is love. God is love, and he proved that love on the cross. When he could say, no man taketh my life from me, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. And so on the third day, the Lord rose from among the dead, and then after 40 days, where did he go? He went back to the glory, and now there's a man in the glory, and he looks down, and he wants to have you to be with him. Why? One word, love, because he loves you. And that's why we have that wonderful secret of the love of Christ. The love of God to poor sinners like you and me, that the Lord Jesus would go all the way to the cross. And there in the cross, he would suffer for our sins to bring us to God. Let's go down in the story and see what happens. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom. Go out to meet him. The bridegroom. You see, there was the Dark Ages. We could take the historical fact of this story of the Dark Ages of the church's history. And if we go over to this second and third chapter of Revelation, we find this seven churches there. It's a time frame. It's an outline of the history of the church in this world. And guess where we're at? We're right at the last one. Laodicea. The Lord has to say to Laodicea, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. But let's get on with the story here. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that buy and sell, buy for yourselves. What does it say? Midnight? How many stores were open at midnight that you would go buy the oil? Do you think the sunny stores open at midnight you could buy the oil? You couldn't tell me, could you? I couldn't tell you either. No stores open at midnight to buy the oil. You know, nowadays we've got the gas stations are open at night, you know, they fill the car up. But I'm getting back here to the narrative where it's real. It's real. God wants to give pictures to you and me that we can't by the Holy Spirit when it's too late. We can't receive the gift of God. You know, it says the wages of sin is death. That's what it says. If I got what I deserved, it would be death, eternal judgment away from God, without God and without hope. And so let's see what happened here. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that buy and that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, you know, there's some people in the world today, they got writing all kinds of books about how to buy the oil. One man says to me, have you received the second blessing? I said, brother, I received all the blessings when I believed. Oh no, you have to speak in tongues. You see, they're trying to buy some oil because they never got the original oil from God. They never got the Holy Spirit. They got another spirit. Watch out, young people, for another spirit. Very convincing. They're such loving people. They love so much. But did they have the oil? They all looked alike, those 10 virgins. And we have them around us today where they're crying to God, oh Lord, send the Holy Spirit, send the Holy Spirit. You know, in the first chapter of Ephesians, maybe we should read it so we understand what we're talking about here. Verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read the last part of the previous verse. Who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The oil, beloved, when did you get it? When you believed. That's what the gospel brings us into. Our brother told us about the gospel last night, how to be saved. That's when we get the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the oil is a picture of. But let's get back to our narrative now, Matthew 25. While they went to buy, and the stores were all closed, you see the hopeless situation it brings, went to buy. But you know, the scripture says, as our brother quoted last night, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, today, day of salvation, right now, not tomorrow. And then what does it say? While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Oh, the door was shut. You know, you and I, we had some shut doors this morning. I remember when I left my room in the hotel, I had to shut the door. And the door wouldn't shut exactly. It kept, had to slam it. Yeah. You know, when God shuts the door, it's too late. Trim your lamps and be ready for the bridegroom's coming. Do you have the oil? You better get it before it's too late. You'll never get it when the store of God's grace and God's mercy is closed. Let's see what happens. Afterward, verse number 11, came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. The cry. The big prayer meeting is coming after the rapture, beloved. I hope none of you that are here will be in that prayer meeting. What does the Lord say? He answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour. Oh, we don't know when the Lord's coming, but are you ready? And so I asked the question, if the Lord was to come, would you go up? And the surprising number of answers that I get, I'm still collecting answers, but you know, every once in a while I get a good solid answer. Yes, I would. A man said to me the other day, yes, I would. I said, how do you know? He said, because Jesus died for me on the cross. I said, he died for me too. Isn't that wonderful that we can rejoice? Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about a boat. Sometimes I tell stories about this and that. Some of you know that Uncle Bob teaches kids how to carve boats, and even grandmothers. We got some grandmothers here. I told them if they carved a boat, I would nominate them Grandmother of the Year. And, you know, they did a pretty good job. But there's a little boat, and I'll tell you the story about the boat. When I was a boy in school, I was in the seventh grade. And one day, this schoolmate of mine, his name was Walter, he came to school and he was going something like this, with some back and forth, with a piece of sandpaper. And he was making something smooth. And I said, Walter, what do you got? And he showed me a little boat. Oh, I said, what a nice little boat. And he was sandpapering it on both sides and making it smooth. And do you know what happened the next day? He came to school. Can you see it back there? Anyway, he came to school, and he had it in his pocket like this, and he came up to me and he said, Bob, I got something for you. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out this nice little boat and he said, you like it? Oh, I said, I love it. He said, it's yours. And he gave me the little boat. And you know what I said? I made a terrible mistake. I was holding it in my hand like this, looking at it, and I said, Walter, let me pay you for it. And he snatched it out of my hand and put it in his pocket. He said, it's not for sale. And he walked away. How do you think I felt? I felt about that big. I felt I wanted to cry. Oh, that nice boat. And I didn't get the boat. So I went home feeling very gloomy. You know how you feel when you get gloomy? I don't feel good. You know, some of us, you know, you're little. You don't have to be very big to feel, I don't feel good. And the next day I came to school and I thought, I know what I'll do. I can't get the boat. You know, that's something about the gifts of God. It's eternal life. and you can't pay for it.
The gift of God, it's a gift. And if it's a gift, you can't say, let me buy it. If somebody gives you a nice present, you say, let me pay for it. They say, well, wait a minute, it's not for sale. And God's great salvation is not for sale because the price was paid on the cross when the Lord Jesus said, it is finished. That's when the work was done on your behalf and mine, because He had borne all your guilt and sins on the cross. Now He saw ahead of time that you and I would be in this world. And so the entreaty of the gospel, it says, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have something, everlasting life. Could you lose it if it's everlasting? You don't know. See, sometimes I put hard questions to boys and girls. You know, if it's eternal, you can never lose it. Some people could say, well, you could pull yourself out of God's hand and you could lose it. No. The Lord could say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. I think it's a double negative there, John 10. Well, the next day I went to school, and I said, Walter, would you show me how to make a boat? You know, I got around the problem. But you know, you don't get around the problem of what God has provided. You can't improve on God's provision for your sins. All our sins so great, so many in His blood are washed. Where? Away! Away forever. Oh, that's what gives peace. That makes me think of a little chorus. It says, wonderful infinite peace flowing from Calvary. Do you have it? In Christ believe. And now receive wonderful infinite peace. I hope everybody here has got it. If you haven't got it yet, you can get it right now by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And you died on the cross for sinners like me, and I want you to save me. You know, He'll give you that peace. The peace that passes understanding, it's called. Wonderful peace. You know, every time that I think of the Lord, how much He loved me, and that He died for me on the cross, it enlarges in my soul that peace. Well, Walter told me to get a gouge and a chisel. I didn't know what a gouge was. I knew what a chisel was, but I didn't know what a gouge. He said it's like a grooved chisel. So I was in earnest, you know. I really wanted to carve a boat. So I went down to the hardware store, and finally I found out what is a gouge. It's like a grooved chisel. And you know, you can't buy them in the hardware store nowadays. They look at you and they say, we don't have any gougers. And most of the clerks, they don't even know what a gouge is. But it's like a grooved chisel, and I was able to get some. I got some connections. might even mention the connection. It's Harbor Freight Tools, Harbor Tools Freight Company. They got a nice little carving set for about $6. And that's where I get these little carving sets with a nice gouge in it. And it's easy to gouge a boat. And so I sometimes go different places and I show boys and girls and men and women how to do it. But that's another subject. We need to stay on this subject. The door is shut. Anyway, Walter showed me how to carve a boat. And I've been carving the boats ever since. That's a long time ago. Now I go over to another door. You see, it says the door was shut. And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, I know you not. Now we go over to another door. Revelation chapter 4, we're going to read about a door. Some people say that Revelation is hard to understand, you know. It's not understand about what's a door. What is a door? This is the door into heaven, beloved. In the chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, we get this, the history of the seven churches of this dispensational time, 2,000 years almost. After what? After the seven churches. God is going to act in a way that is so remarkable. We were singing about the heavenly bridegroom. He's coming. What is He going to do? He's going to call His bride up to heaven. But you know, heaven's got a door. I looked and behold, the door was open in heaven. Wow. A door open in heaven? And who's going to go through the door into heaven? I'd like to ask the question, are you going through the door into heaven when the Lord comes? I'm going. How do I know? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all of my sins. And I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have hope. This hope is like an anchor to the soul. Sure and steadfast. And where does it go? It goes right into the holiest. It enters in within the veil. Whither the forerunner has gone for us, even Jesus. So let's read a little about this door here. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And John says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. You know, we sing that little song, around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Are you going to be a singer in the heavenly choir? One day I was standing by the newspaper stand, and I thought to myself, oh, bad news, there it was, and bad. And there was a man that came walking across the street, a colored man came walking where I live. And he saw me looking at the news, and then I looked at him, and I said, all bad. He said, that's right. I said, by the way, if the Lord was to come, would you go up? He said, yes, I would. And the smile on his face was that smile of a believer. There was confidence in the response. Yes, I would. I said, then you're going to be a singer with me in the heavenly choir. Is that right? Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory. That man was going to sing glory, glory, glory to be to him on high. When the door opens in heaven, he's going to go through the door. That man was in the good of what I was talking about. If the Lord was to come, would he go up? And yes, we're going to be here around the throne of God. And it says down in that fifth chapter, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been freshly slain. Oh, there it is, the Lamb of God. And when in the first chapter of John's Gospel, when the Lord Jesus came walking in this world, John saw him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away something. What does he take away? The sin of the world. Has he taken your sins away? He's taken my sins away. And that's why I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these are wonderful themes that we have to sing about. But I'd like to turn to another verse in John chapter number 10. It's something about the sheep. I don't know if I got time to tell you the story about the sheep, but maybe I should tell you the story about the sheep. Some of you never heard the story about the sheep. We moved to Washington in 1960, and so I had four children. I got five children. And after a couple of years, they got a little bit bigger, and they said, Daddy, we want to go over to Idaho and visit with our friends over there. I said, all right. So we took a trip in the summertime. It was a nice summertime. We went over to Idaho, and we went up into the hills away from where the farm was that we're staying. And here's a whole big bunch of sheep on the hillside. And there's a great big tall shepherd with his, he had a big staff in his hand, and he had the dogs, and he would say something to the dog, and if the sheep was running away from the flock, the dog would go, yip, 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 and chase the sheep right back with the flock. And it was so nice. And my little girl said, Daddy, could we get a little baby lamb? And I thought, uh-oh. Because we were living on a kind of a farm, and we had a horse, we had a cow, we had a milk cow, and we had some chickens already. But that little lamb, they were so cute, you know, they would run around in the grass. And we heard about the bummer lamb where the mama had got didn't want the baby lamb anymore, or the mama had died, and here's a little lamb going around trying to get some milk from another mama, and they wouldn't even give it to her. And the little lamb was shriveling up, not getting enough to eat. So I said to the shepherd, do you have a bummer lamb? Maybe we could have it. And he looked at me and he said, would you be a good shepherd? thought, uh-oh. He's putting it right on me to be responsible. And my little girl says, Daddy, I'll be responsible. I'll be a good shepherd. My little girl was about, I don't know, 12, 13. So they give us this little baby lamb. And we took it in the car. And it was a little baby girl lamb. And we named it Betsy. So here's Betsy in the car. And she goes, this little bleat, you know. She was hungry. And so we right away got a bottle and some milk. We had to feed that little baby lamb. It's like your brother was speaking last night about a suckling lamb. It still was on the bottle. It still was one to suck from the mama, but it didn't have a mama, so we had to be the mama to it. And so we got going back to the farm. We got to Uncle Ron's farm in Walla Walla. And the next morning, what do you think happens? That little lamb wanted to run away. And the kids took it out. We had a little collar on it and a little leash. And when that little lamb got out on the grass in the yard, my little boy was holding it. My little boy was about the age of some of these little boys here. And all of a sudden, the little lamb ran and that pulled the leash right out of my little boy's hand. And where do you think that little lamb wanted to go? Right up on the hill where Mr. and Mrs. Coyote had their den under a big rock. And before times, we'd gone there and listened. And my friend Ron would say, come on, there's a den of coyotes up on the hill. If you go real quiet and listen, you can hear the little pups. You know, the little pups is the little baby coyotes. And you know what the bumper sticker says? 20 million coyotes can't be wrong, eat lamb. You know, see, the coyotes like to eat the lamb. And where do you think the little lamb wanted to go? Run up on the mountain right to where the cows live. Right in the little ridge there. So like the hills come on each side and right there's a big rock up at the top. And we both had to get both families running behind the lamb. The lamb would look back and run faster and we couldn't catch up. A little baby lamb was running away to the cow's den. That's like the sinner running right to where the devil has all of his wares. And the devil wants to destroy and to steal and to kill. Like the thief. And finally I told Uncle Ron, you go that way and I'll go this way. We'll get on each side. So we both went up the hill and we got around past the lamb. The lamb was looking back and there's nobody back there chasing it anymore. So she stopped. And that's why we got around the lamb. And then he came around that way and pretty soon we closed in and we caught the little lamb. A little lamb went straight upon the hills one day. That's the story. But you know, thankfully we got the little lamb back safe. And then we brought the little lamb home and the kids took care of that little lamb. And so everybody lived happily ever after. Well, our time is up. Maybe we close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that...